God, we are so grateful. We're grateful to be able to come to a place and to be in a place where we can celebrate you and where we can celebrate your son, and we are just free to do that. We are grateful for your son, Jesus. Jesus, we're grateful for you. That you came not just to be a baby, but that you came to die for each of us, that we could be in relationship with God the Father. It is such a privilege to be called a child of God. And God, we just thank you for this night as we remember the birth of Jesus. And we pray in his name. Amen. Well, friends, welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to those who are at home watching as well. And Merry Christmas. It is just so good to be with you here in this place on this night, afternoon, I guess, at this point, on Christmas Eve as we celebrate Jesus and celebrate his birthday. You know, I shared a few weeks ago, and many people have heard and know this. I've shared a few weeks ago, we don't know the exact day of Jesus' birthday. But here's what we do know. We do know that Jesus was born. And we know that he lived, and we know that he died, and we know that he rose again from the dead. And we know that December the 25th is when we celebrate his birth. And so we are so happy to be celebrating the birth of Jesus. So Merry Christmas and happy birthday, Jesus, right? Happy birthday, Jesus. We've been in a message series the past few weeks around here that's allowed us to read most of the Christmas story and pieces all throughout it. But to kind of honor the Christmas story and honor what I think is very good Christian tradition at this time, I want to read us through a portion of the story before we talk tonight. And we heard a little bit of it during our worship set, but I just want to read a little bigger block. So if you would follow along with the scripture on the screen or listen to me in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus to all the world that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up to Galilee from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those on whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. There it is, friends. That's the birth story of Jesus. Our focus on Sunday mornings through this month and this season has been to talk about a different kind of gift this season, to actually talk about how we can present ourselves to Jesus as the gift. That the only gift suitable for Jesus, since it's his birthday, not our birthday, the only gift suitable is for us to give ourselves, for you to give yourself. That's not a, there's not a thing in this world that Jesus wants. There's not a thing that Jesus needs. The whole reason that Jesus came was because of you. And it was because of me, actually, to have relationship with us. And over these past weeks, we've kind of been unwrapping what presenting ourselves to Jesus might look like. And we've learned that one thing you can do to present yourself to Jesus is to be present, to actually be in the season, to actually pay attention to what the Jesus part of the season is about. And also we talked about we can present ourselves by presenting our trust, knowing the truth of Jesus and his coming, and that someday he's coming again. And that you can be present with Jesus in your witness by telling about it to others, about how Christmas is about the one who came to save us and not about just everything else that the world makes it. And this morning we talked about how we present ourselves to Jesus by presenting our worship, because he is royalty, he is deity, which means he's God, and he is the sacrifice for our sins. In fact, those who were here this morning, we did something special together. We all wrote on cards different words or phrases to Jesus as royalty, as deity, and as our sacrifice. We wrote these on cards so that we were presenting our worship to him, and we put these cards in this package right over here. This box, we have said all season, represents us. It represents us being a present to Jesus for this Christmas. And I love especially the way that it's wrapped. I've said this a couple times through the month. I love the way it's wrapped, that it's just brown paper. Because by ourselves, we just aren't that special, are we? But with Jesus, we become a beautiful present before him. And so what we did today, we talked about the three gifts of the wise men that they brought and how they represent who he is. His royalty, he's the king. His deity, he is God. And that he is the sacrifice. And people wrote words of worship. They brought them forward. There were people just coming up and coming up and coming up and dropping them in this box. And I've not, other than to pull and just take a brief look when I got here this afternoon, I've not taken them out and read them, but I said I was going to share a few of them with us this afternoon as we worship, to help lead us in our worship. I feel like it's a raffle, right? But let me pull out just a few. I probably won't read all that's in my hand here. But as we honor God, here are some things that the body of Christ have said together today. We worship you, God, to take my life and let it be wholly consecrated unto thee. You are awesome beyond comprehension, yet you are faithful to answer prayers. Bless our lives in faith and peace. You have perfect love and I surrender all. Isn't that beautiful? Someone says they're worshiping him for his holiness, one with the Holy Spirit and eternal life. Some is a prayer to him, singing with joy, peace on earth, glory to God and love. He is the Almighty, most forgiving, our Father. This is all written from folks right here who were here this morning. This is just praise, adoration, and love. Love, Savior, and faithful. Praise him always. Worship only him, no other gods before him. Lord of lords, King of kings, thank you for dying for my sins. Praise to you forever. How about one more? This just says, quiet, reflective time, mighty king, love to God, to Jesus. There's so many more in here, but just such a beautiful written praise, a word of testimony to who Jesus is and what he means to the life of so many of us that love and know him. And so we thank you, Jesus, and we thank you, God, and we give you our worship with these different cards that have been given to you representing our present of worship to you. So this afternoon, now we're going to center into what it actually means when we say to present yourself. I mean, here's what it really comes down to, friends. What it really comes down to, if you want to be the present to Jesus, then you have to present you. You have to present you. Present yourself as presenting you. It really comes down to that. Jesus gave himself for you, so how are you going to give yourself for him? So let's quickly look at just four ways that you can give yourself to Jesus this Christmas to be the present. The first is this. If you want to be a present to Jesus, then behold him. I mean, it starts right there, doesn't it? It starts with beholding him. This is where it started with the shepherds in the story. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people." The first thing that the angels were told to do is to behold. And that's the same message for the world today. Behold this good news of great joy that is for all people. All around the world this day, friends, all around this world today and tomorrow, there are people who are celebrating Christmas. They're decorating trees. They're meeting with their family. They're meeting in churches like we are tonight, and candles will be lit all over the world singing Silent Night. By the way, did you know that's the most recorded Christian Christmas song in history? Silent Night is. And they'll be opening presents tomorrow morning. And yet, here's the thing. Not all of these people, actually many will not, not all will behold Jesus, the one who the angels declared about. The word behold means this. It means to see or observe. And friends, as crazy as it may sound, there are many people who will not see or observe Jesus in their celebrating of Christmas, because there's a whole secular celebrating of this holiday of Christmas that goes on as well, that misses the Christ of Christmas, of Christmas. So if you're going to present you to Jesus, as you present yourself to Jesus, then start by beholding him, really seeing him, really observing him. When the shepherds were told by the angels to behold, to see and observe, that's exactly what they did. They said to one another, "Let us go see this thing that's happened, which the angel has made known to us." And they went with haste. That means they went in a big hurry. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. How do we behold him? How do we do that? How do we see him? How do we observe him and know that he's real? Well, we can't go to the manger, but we can go to his word, the Bible. Friends, read all about Jesus in the Gospels of the Bible, in the New Testament, the books that are titled Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Actually, the whole Bible is about Jesus. It all leads to Jesus, but start with those books to see and observe Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Start to see him and to observe him and see and observe what he's doing in your life. If you read these books, you'll observe, you'll behold Jesus. Beholding him is one way to present you to Jesus. Here's another way. You behold him. The second is believe in him. Believe in him. The shepherds heard about Christ coming, and they were told to go and behold him, which they did do. However, they did more than just go and see and then just look at the baby and leave from there. Friends, they believed. They believed he was the Christ, just like the angels had said that he was, and they believed he was there for the salvation of all people. Now, how do we know this? Because the story tells us that after beholding Jesus, they went and they told everybody that they believed. It says, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. If they hadn't believed it, they never would have told anybody else about it, especially rushing out to do so. You know, when I was 18 years old, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And before then, I'll tell you, I went to church. I went to church religiously every week. I had to go to church. It wasn't my choice. And I went. And I believed there was a God, but I didn't believe anything personal about him. I didn't believe that I could personally know him or that he personally cared about me. Going to church and God were things that I did more than they were things that I actually believed enough in to think they could impact my life. And then I had a youth pastor sit down with me one time and talk to me and explain to me that Jesus actually came for a reason. He came because I had sin in my life. In fact, everybody in the world has sin in our life, and we've all fallen short of the goodness of God, of the glory of God. And this youth pastor told me that Jesus actually came not just to be born as a baby, but to become a man who died on a cross, who rose from the dead, and that he died on that cross so that, friends, we don't have to. John 3:16 at football games sometimes, right? Well, look at both these verses together. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Might be saved through him. God sent his son to save us. That's the message that the angel gave to Joseph. When he told him about God's son, and that he was to go ahead and marry Mary when she was carrying this child, that's what he said in Matthew 1:21. "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins." After that, friends, after with this youth pastor, he then explained to me that placing my belief in Jesus meant that I would ask Jesus to forgive my sins and to come into my life. And friends, I did that. I said a prayer, and I invited Jesus into my life. I asked him to forgive my sins, and I went from believing that there was a God to believing in Jesus, who leads me, and actually having a relationship with God. And then the first thing that the youth pastor told me to do after I prayed that was he said, "Go tell somebody else what you did." And then he took me back to his house. And back at his house, his wife was there. And there was a young lady from the youth group that was there with her. And he just said to me, he said, "Mark, you want to tell them something? Something that you did?" And I said, "I sure do." I said, "I prayed and I asked Jesus to forgive my sins. And I asked him to come into my life." I said, "I became a Christian. I went and I told." And that's what the shepherds did to show that they believed. They ran and they told everyone else what they had beheld, what they had been told, that was, and now that showed that they believed. Romans 10:9 says, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." So you show that you believe it by declaring it. By declaring it. You present you to Jesus when you behold him. You present you to Jesus when you believe in him. And here's a third way. The third way is this. You present you to Jesus when you belong to him. Belong to him. Do you want to know one of the greatest signs? One of the greatest signs there is for actually belonging to Jesus, it's this peace. People who know and trust Jesus, who belong to Jesus, they carry with them this sustaining peace that's with them, even when life's in turmoil. Now, some of you may say, "Well, wait a minute, turmoil and peace, I don't understand. Those two things don't go together." Friends, I'm talking about a peace that says that you don't have any, doesn't say that you don't have any storms in life. It's talking about a peace that says, "I know the one who controls the storms. So even when there are storms, I still have a peace." In the story, the angel who brought the message was suddenly joined by a multitude of angels. And what did they do? They all praised God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Peace among those with whom he is pleased." Jesus came to bring peace. And when you belong to Jesus, you know his peace. Maybe you've beheld Jesus. Maybe you've even believed in Jesus. But right now, you're just really struggling to belong to him. Jesus, he speaks to belonging. Revelation 2:20 says, Behold, there's that word again, right? See and observe. See and observe me. Behold me. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. See and observe me. I'm knocking at the door. Open your heart to me. Jesus wants to come into your life and to belong in you, and you belong in him. And that brings you a sustaining peace that carries you even when the world feels set to crush you. Present you to Jesus by belonging to him. One final way you can present you to Jesus for Christmas is this. It's to simply to begin with him. You know, after the shepherds went and they talked about what they had beheld and what they had believed, it says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Notice that it doesn't just say that they simply returned to their quiet little fields with their quiet little jobs, their quiet little sheep. No, friends, they began life with a new excitement. They returned with a whole new perspective, knowing that God and all that he says is true, glorifying and praising him. Their life was never going to be the same again. They'd begun something brand new, something brand new. Maybe you've not presented any of the things that I've talked about this afternoon to Jesus. You just haven't done that yet. You've not really beheld him. You've not really looked at him or observed him. You've not looked at what the Bible tells you about him or any of those kind of things. Maybe you've not believed in him. Perhaps you've had curiosities, but you've just held back from actually professing anything about him, from placing any real trust in him, from believing in him with your life and asking him to forgive your sins or to lead your life. Maybe that's where you are. Or maybe you've not done anything that looks like belonging to him. You've not trusted him enough with your life, and so there's not any real peace that you're actually receiving from him. So okay, friends, how about this? How about you begin with him this afternoon? Maybe you celebrate Christmas every year because of the goodwill and the charity and the family and the love and idea and all that is promised with that. But as far as the Christ part of Christmas, you've just never really paid much attention to that part of it. You know, if that profile comes anywhere close to fitting you at all, can I just ask you a question? So how do you feel when December the 26th rolls around? When the frenzy of Christmas is done and you're stuck just rolling into the cold January and February? How do you feel when the decorations and the color of the trees, all that stuff comes down and it's all down in all the stores too, and you're back to just work and the daily routine until Christmas starts all over again next year about August, right? You see, I remember a time in my life before I really beheld, believed, and belonged to Jesus where I would get borderline depressed when Christmas time, the Christmas season was over. I wanted to hold on to those feelings that the season brought me so badly, but I couldn't seem to get that. It just seemed all to end at midnight on Christmas night. All the extended family were done gathering, and we'd go back to hardly ever seeing each other again for the rest of the year until the next year rolled around, and I'd have to head back to school soon, and my parents were headed back to work soon, and the humdrum of life just seemed to beat on the humdrum all the louder. And once I realized that Jesus was more than a one-time-a-year baby, but instead was an everyday friend, you see, my whole life changed. Perhaps your present to Jesus this year is that you're ready to begin. You're ready to begin beholding, believing, and belonging. And if that thought is resonating with your heart this Christmas Eve at all, then let me tell you that you're in a very good place. And I don't mean this room or this church. I mean you're in a very good place with God. I mean, how about this? How about you just start by telling Jesus, I'm ready to begin. I'm ready to begin. Actually, can we just stop for a moment and just pray right now And if what I pray feels like something that expresses your heart and leads you in some way, you can just join in and pray with yourself along with me. Can we just do that for a moment? Let's just stop for a moment and pray. Dear God, I went to church 18 years of my life and didn't know who you were. And so I am not naive. I know that I'm not the only one. And I believe that there are some people here who have yet to begin with you. And if their heart is feeling that right now, maybe they didn't expect that before they came in today, this afternoon, but all of a sudden they're like, I'm ready to begin. Then I just invite them to themselves and to you to pray that, just to say, I'm ready to begin with you, Jesus. I'm ready to begin with you. Ask me to help me, God, to understand my sins and to ask you for forgiveness and to invite you into my life to begin with you. And that's a prayer. That's a prayer for some. You know, there may be others who are present here others here, maybe it's going to look different for you in how you begin. Maybe you've beheld him. Maybe you've believed in him already. You've done that. You know that you're a Christian and that your sins are forgiven and all of that, but this belonging thing that we've talked about may not feel real present with you. And if you're honest with yourself, you'd probably have to admit that you're a bit like Santa holding the reins of his sleigh. You're not going to let go of those things no matter what, the reins of your life. And some of you would be scared to death just to let go of those reins. You're not trusting Jesus enough to be present with him and you're belonging to him. Well, listen to me, friends. Here's the hard truth, the hard news for that. If that's where you're at, if you got to clutch the reins and not give them to him, then the peace that the angels promised, it will continue to elude you. So perhaps there are some here this Christmas Eve who are ready to begin in presenting their belonging to him. And if that's you, how about you tell Jesus right now, I'm ready to begin. And actually, let's stop and have one more prayer for that. For anyone here who is ready to begin. They know that they know Jesus, but they haven't belonged to him yet. And allowing him to lead your life. Would you pray with me one more time? Dear God, I know there are people here who are struggling, who know you. They know you. They know that their sins are forgiven by you. They know the story of Jesus and his death and resurrection, and they've received all of those things, but they're not belonging to you. Truth be told, they're probably still belonging to themselves or to the world. And some are ready to say, I need that peace. And so to you, they just say, Jesus, I present myself. I begin with you today to belong to you. You're knocking on the door. I'm opening it up and I'm inviting you in to lead me. And I'm passing the reins of the sleigh from my hands to yours. I belong to you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The only gift Jesus really wants from you is you. The only gift he wants from me is me. And that's not about how good you are, being good enough, or being moral enough, or doing all the right things. It's none of those things. If I clean up my act, then all of a sudden I can belong to God. It's none of those things. It's a laying it down. Saying, Jesus, I want to begin with you. And I need you for my life to be different. Because where it is right now, I'm not sure how much longer I can go that way. Present yourself. We're going to move into singing Silent Night, one of my favorite times of the year and season. Everybody, I hope, has a candle. If you didn't get one, they're at the doors. And we're going to begin to sing Silent Night together. I'll take a fire from the center candle, which is known as the Christ candle. I'm just going to start at the ends of the pews, and we can just keep passing it until it's throughout the room. And when we have the light, let's stand and sing together. Here's what you'll do. Don't lean the fire to the candle, because that makes wax drip all over you and the floor. Keep the fire straight and lean the candles that aren't lit into the fire to take the light for yourself, and then hand it to the next person to do the same. Let's worship him in a silent night. One of my favorite things to do is look around. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus is the light of the world. What does that mean? That means that he comes into where it's dark and lets us see. He comes to where it's dark and shines a light on us. He gives us direction. He gives us guidance. He gives us life. And so I just love to see that light, because as the light spreads from one person to the next, another person gets to know Jesus. I want us to sing the first verse a cappella once. I always like to do that. There's just something about hearing voices. So let's just do that once. Ready? Merry Christmas.